Amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16, if you will. Luke chapter 16. Anybody need a worksheet to not get, receive a worksheet? One down front here, guys, if you can help the way right down front here. Keep your hand up so they can see where you are. Right down front here. Anybody else? All right. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. Read first 13 verses here, one story, one parable, if you will. Are we ready? Here we go. Verse number 1, "And he," Jesus, "said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man." And don't equate this with the Lord, okay? It's a rich man. He's rich in worldly goods. There's nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't equate this with the Lord. By the way, when you read a parable, there's a reason why he's teaching a parable. But if he uses a homely example such as this, it involves people. And you got to be careful trying to make every little nth degree say something. You'll get yourself out on a limb someplace. You won't be able to get back. But there's a principle he's trying to teach us. We put in context to the rest of it. I'm not saying there's not more to say than what I'm saying tonight. I'm not saying that. But just be careful you don't jump into too much. Sometimes we talk about the king, and it means the Lord. Sometimes you got to talk about a rich man here, and it's talking about somebody else. So it says, "There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same," the steward, "was accused unto him," the rich man, "that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, he said unto him, how is it that I hear that this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship." In other words, I just lost my job. "I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So, what did he resolve to do? "So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. And he said unto first, how much owest thou that unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That means 80. And the Lord," this is a strange verse. We've got to be careful when we read this. "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Now, before we get confused, remember that not only is the steward a child of this world, so is the rich landowner, the rich man. He's also of the world. Okay, we got to put it in context what he's trying to teach us here. And so Jesus says, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. This is still Jesus speaking. For the children of this world, he's explaining now, are in their generation, in their time, in their society, in their culture, if you will, wiser than the children of light. They're wiser within the context of their culture than the children of light are in within the context of their culture. You follow what I'm saying here? Christians kind of live in a different economy, if you will, than the rest of the world lives. We live with a biblical world perspective. We're a biblical world view, where the world has the world's view, a humanistic view. Okay? And it seems like the people who are living in the world's view know how to work that view, work that culture, work that way of thinking. They're more diligent in using what they think is right to do what they think is right than we are in doing what we know is right. Are you following what I'm saying? So he's not commending. God is not saying, well, he was good to have gone out there and done all. See, that's one of those things where you get yourself in trouble here, and you can get confused, because first you say it sounds like he's condemning him, then you sound like he's commending him, then he's condemning him. Oh, my soul, I don't know. Let's read it. Let's go to the next chapter. You know what I'm saying? So put it in perspective what it's saying here. So verse 9, Jesus says, and I say, Jesus say unto him, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that ye may receive you into everlasting habitations. That's a hard one too. We'll get to that. In that is faith, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other, look down on his nose at the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means the world's philosophy, the world's wealth, what the world holds up as being of value. You've got what the world says, and then you've got the Lord God. And you can't serve what the Lord, what the world is saying, the world's philosophy, the world's perspective, the world's treasures, and also serve God at the same time. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this. We'll see how far we can get. Who are you really serving? Who are you really serving? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these truths. Lord, I want to be a blessing. You know, an awful lot was going on today. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll clear my mind. Pray that your Holy Spirit will supersede and overrun everything. And just pray that what's said and done, being honor and glory to you, and that it be understood, and that we may take another step in our faithful walk with you. So, Lord, we put in your hands and give you the praise. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we've spent quite a few messages on hypocrisy. A hypocrite is simply one that presents himself as one thing, but is really another. In this context, this steward is presenting himself as being the faithful servant of the master. But he isn't. He's been wasting the man's money. So in that case, he's acting the part of a confidant. He's acting the part of someone that you can trust with your goods of your whole household. But he's not. A hypocrite is an actor. That's simply what it is. And sometimes we can play hypocrite and have convinced ourselves that we're really what we're trying to appear to be. We can all be a little deluded from time to time. Some people have been playing the game so long, we've convinced ourselves that's who we are. And for anybody to tell them otherwise, they almost get insulted. Jesus spent some time trying to help others see their hypocrisy, and we've talked about that. And he was not trying to make them feel bad. But we cannot change who we are if we're not willing to deal with truth and see who we are. We need to confess it and change it and reap the true blessings that God promises. Now, there are many people who think they're being open, honest, and transparent with the Lord and are thus expecting to see God's working in their lives in a positive way. But they're often disappointed because they do not see God working in their lives as expected. And often that is because they have rationalized sin, they've rationalized selfishness, and we've convinced ourselves that we're following the Lord and serving Him when in reality we're really serving ourselves. We can play mind games with ourselves. We can easily have priorities out of place and misaligned. We can soon place our priorities in the wrong order when our thinking and reasoning is based on man's thoughts and not on the Lord's thoughts. I know a lot of Christians who think the most important thing in life is their kids. That's not true. I hate to tell you, that's not true. The most important thing is our own personal walk with God. Watch this. The most important thing in our life is not necessarily serving in the ministry. Coming to church is not, we call this a church service, but we're not serving. We're being served. The Lord's here to tell us the word of God and speak to our hearts, and we get to praise His name a little bit, but that's not work, that's not serving, that's simply, you know, rightful appreciation and gratitude. But our walk with God is first. Now, believe it or not, here I'm a preacher, and I want us all to serve, and if you were here on Sunday night, I talked about all kinds of things we ought to be doing, but the fact is, our walk with God is first, and hey, then your spouse, if you're married. Then your kids, if you have kids. then your Christian service, and then your job. Now, you may spend more time at your job, but the fact is that simply is there to pay for everything else. And a lot of people will take this and they'll do this because they know they got to have, what they're trusting is in the money to get them through life, not trusting God to get them through life. And God, who has the power to give us wealth, and God, who provides all our needs according to his riches and glory. So God is first, the job is last, but in fact, his job, God gives us the job to pay for what's in between. But we put the job on top, and then we go out into the public, and we get some position at the township, or at the Lions Club, or the Elks Club, or the Moose Club, or the Elephant Club, or whatever it is. Or we go to church, and want to be somebody special in church, and get some prestige. Listen, job, that was pride of life. Pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You see, we put that on top. And then if we have time, well, then we've got to take care of the kids. And then we have time, then we put the spouse down here. That's not right. Why? Well, I'll show you a second. And then if we have any time at all, we put God in there. But you see, I can't be a good spouse until I'm a good Christian. Now, this includes my coming to church and hearing the Word of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is. That's up there. That's my own personal devotion. That's my praying without ceasing. That's my walk with God. Then if I can do that, then I can be the spouse that I'm supposed to be for my spouse. Now, this up here does not include working week after week after week, day after day after day at the church, and your spouse never sees you. That's why we have spouses who think that God stole their spouse. I've had people tell me, when my wife got saved, I lost my wife. I've had ladies say, when my husband got saved, I lost my husband. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. So we have a walk with God, we have our spouse. You're not gonna be able to raise good children if you're going to put them in a dysfunctional marriage. So you've got to have a good marriage. And you're going to have something for these kids to grow up in. And then you have so then you have your good kids. Well, then you've got a family going in the right direction. If there's time, and there should be some time, because we want to teach to serve the Lord, then there's some things that we do for the Lord. And since the church is the body of Christ, and that's the organization he's used to really get the job done, then we should be involved in the church, and of course taking them to the church, and then we're the men, you're leading your wife to know the Word of God, washing the water of the Word. Of course, you're supposed to be washed too. And then, but your responsibility to make sure your family is. And so then you got the kids, and you got the service, and then you've got a job. Now you've got to be at your job. You got to do it. But the fact is that job may if the job is getting a way of doing what you may change jobs. You got to still have a job because you can take care of everything. But the priorities. And so what I'm saying is, we can think we're serving God when actually we're serving self. If we get things out of order, that wasn't even on the thing. But that just hit me there for a second. Anyway, now so we can easily have priorities out of place and misaligned, and we soon get the priorities in a wrong order when our thinking and reasoning is based on man's thoughts and not on the Lord's thoughts. Now, much of the issue of hypocrisy is determined, watch, by whom we're serving. That kind of boils down. Who are you serving? You're serving yourself, or you're serving the Lord? Who are you trying to please? Are you trying to please the self, or are you trying to please you? Are you pleasing the Lord, or are we pleasing ourselves? What are our priorities in life? And you can tell often by what you're spending most time. Now, I know job, you got to spend most time because that's what it is. But you can tell what your energy are and your focus and so forth. Are you concerned for the things of God and truth and right? Or are you just trying to get through life? Who are you looking out for, you or others? Do your actions work to that end? I mean, you say, well, I'm all for others. Well, does our actions work? I mean, go along with that. Are they a witness of that? There are those that are out in the world who have set their priorities and work diligently toward them. Let me say it again. There are those who are out in the world who have set their priorities and are working diligently toward them. Now, their priorities may very well be wrong. They think that my job is the most important, so they're going to push that as the most important thing, and everything else has to kind of be, you know, kind of tucked in around wherever we can, and everything works around the money. Now, their priorities may be wrong, but their diligence is commendable. Are you following what I'm saying? In their mindset, in their environment, in the world, this is what they believe is true, and they're working hard at it. There are many people who will call themselves Christian believers who may have good priorities, but they do very little to actually move in action toward those priorities. We can claim the title, but when our actions are actually discerned, the two don't quite agree. This parable can be, you're already confused, right? This parable can be confusing. If we're not careful, we could be led to believe that Jesus is commending underhandedness, laziness, shady business dealings. He is not. Sometimes we claim we're serving the Lord and expect to be blessed for doing so, when in reality we are actually serving ourselves. Let me give you number one. The unfaithful steward. The unfaithful steward. What's a steward? Well, a steward is someone who has been given the obligation, the duties, to tend to basically all the household affairs so that the rich man can tend to the rest of his business. The steward is kind of like Joseph was given to Potiphar. If you go back to the story there, he says, listen, anything I've ever held back from Joseph, Potiphar says, is my wife. He knows everything's going on better than I do. He knows what the servants are doing. He knows that the bills are paid. He's taking sure, make sure everybody's getting fed. Joseph was running the household. He basically has all the authority except the final veto authority over top. The steward is basically living out the master's life. The master has basically taken himself, lock, stock, and barrel, and has handed it and put it in the hands of the steward to tend to those needs, so that the rich man, well, sometimes they just go out and carouse, but so that he can actually run his business is what we're really talking about. So he runs the household. So watch this. That's what a steward is. An unfaithful steward is also, it's almost like an oxymoron. You know what that means? The title contradicts itself. If you're a steward, you have to be faithful. Or you're really not a steward of his money. You're a thief. You see what I'm saying? Luke 16:1. Look what it says here in your paper. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man. In other words, this was an important job with much responsibility. The reason I say that, the steward that's going to be this rich man's steward, that's an important job. Not the rich man, but the steward's job. It's an important job. There's a lot of responsibility there. He's a rich man. He has lots to tend to. So there was this rich man which had a steward, a household finance manager, an overseer, an administrator. And the same was accused, this administrator, this household manager, was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, the word wasted is a good term for that. It was not so much that he was stealing the money for himself, but simply was not stewarding the money very well. He was not diligent in what he was doing. It was not illegal, but kind of ill-advised. He didn't care if he got a good deal for his master. It wasn't his money. But he did whatever was easy and convenient at the time so he could be paid and still have time to go play golf or something. It was this thing where he was just kind of, all right, here it is, I got the job, and he was working for a paycheck. And if plenty of money would go around, who cares? This isn't on the sheet either, but it's kind of like our politicians. If they don't have enough money, what do they do? Just raise the taxes instead of being good stewards of what we have. They'd be good stewards of what we have. Chances are we could probably lower the taxes. They start a new program, and it fizzles out, but they just keep putting the money into it. And then they start another program, and they put money there, and it fizzles out, but they keep putting money to it, and then they do this, and it seems like they never know how to stop. They always say, well, this is a temporary tax hike. You ever know how they, why they say that? It's just bad if I'm going to say, I'm going to go talk for a short time. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. No sense, just a waste of breath. So listen, so watch, he's verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? So he wasn't happy, and he was upset, rightly so. He's wasting his money. Now this rich man, what's important to him? He's of the world, his money, his possessions. And the fact is, it would be to us too. If somebody was using our money, if we had an accountant and he was supposed to be paying the bills, and he says, okay, one for them and one for me, one for them and one for me. You know, one for them, two for me. You know, one for them, then three for me. You know, or he says, you know, I don't know. The pastor needs to get his, I know this guy down the road. He'll mow his lawn for $300 a week, so I'll just get him to do it. When there's somebody else out there, we're going to find some kid who wants to go to youth camp, they'll probably do it for about 50 bucks a week without any problem. You know? So it was just didn't care. So he says, how is it this, I hear of thee, give an account of thy stewardship. No, show me where we are and how bad it is, for thou mayest no longer steward. You're not doing this job anymore, just so show me what we got. Now, letter B, answer this question for me. Who does a steward serve? The master. That's the point, write it down. Who is a steward serves the master. If he's not serving the master, he's really not the steward. He may be getting the paycheck, he may have the position, he may have the title, but he's not a steward of the man's money, he's a thief. The steward serves the master. Letter C. Who was the steward really serving? Himself. Exactly right. He was getting paid to care for the master's financial matters as if they were his own. But he was lazy, uncaring about it, did what he pleased, and he wasn't treating it as if it was his own. If it was his own pocket, he'd be doing something a little different. Faithfulness. I mean, watch this. Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. Faithfulness. I'm going to treat this as if it was my own. Not that I own it and can do anything with it, but you're the person as if you were me and I was you, and I'm going to be as faithful to you as I would be faithful to me. Number two. So we saw the unfaithful steward, and we're going to see a self-absorbed steward. By the way, that's an oxymoron too. During the work hours, who is the focus of our job? The master, not me. Now, I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. The focus of my life that I work 24/7, not as a pastor, but as a Christian, to be good steward of my life, is the focus must be on the master. What would the master have me do? What would the master have me do? Now, and you've got to be careful with this, the master does want you to get some rest. The master does want you to have a good family. The master does want a lot of things we also want. But we've got to be careful that our thoughts, our efforts, our diligence is toward the master. Whose welfare was the steward concerned with? Well, it was himself. Look at letter B. Number two, letter B, verse 3, verse. It says, then the steward said within himself. So he just heard, you're fired. Turn over all the books here. Let's find out what's going on. So he says to himself, What am I going to do? The Lord taketh away me the stewardship. All of a sudden, I don't have the job. He says, I cannot dig. Why not? To beg, I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Letter C. He had the persona and the, here it is, position of being a rich man's steward. He had the position of being a rich man's steward. He was not the rich man's steward. He was looking out for number one and taking a paycheck from the master. He was simply a hireling. See, here again, we can profess and claim and even put on. My guess is when the boss walked into the office there, he had everything going. He's, oh man, he's, yes sir, man, all right. Well, who started up the coffee maker? We got to get some. Who went for the donuts today? Okay. Now, I've eaten my share of donuts, don't get me wrong, but we got to realize where we're going with this. He was a hireling. Letter D, watch this. He got fired, and what did he say? What am I going to do? You know what he didn't say? I failed the master. I failed the master. You know, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. He's going to, what's he going to do when he goes and gets another job? Why were you fired from the last time? Who did you work for? Or so-and-so. Well, let me give him a call. See, people who are living in the flesh usually can't see afar off. They can't see past their noses. They make an immediate decision to tend to their immediate wants. There may be needs, but they don't realize that truth and righteousness is what lasts forever. Sin is only a joy for a short time, and then there's a price. We always go further in our sin than we expected. It always costs more than we expected. And we always stay longer than we expected. Letter D, there was no remorse. There was no remorse for having done a poor job. He said, oh my soul, what am I going to do? There was no thought, watch, there was no thought about restitution for his poor business practices. He didn't say, you know what, you're right, I've wasted your money and I owe you. He wasn't going to make up the master's money he had lost or squandered away. The master's welfare was never his priority. It's not now, but that's because it never was. If it was, he wouldn't have wasted the master's assets. Our lives are the master's assets. Our lives are the master's assets. And when you say, well, yeah, but I'm the one that's hanging on to it. That's right. You are a steward of the house, the little temple, the tabernacle of God that we walk around in. We are stewards of all the money. When we talked about that message, you know, how to have financial security. The first thing to have financial security is to remember you don't own any of it. But he lets you use 90%. Cool. All he wants back is 10%. But he knows you have needs of that. He knows what you need. There are families in this building, this room right here, that I know that have tithed and they can see how God has seen them through even when the numbers shouldn't have made sense. Can I get a witness there? Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely. Why? Because it's all his in the first place. Now, see, if we say, well, I don't, wait. I think I would need a little part of that, not that 10%. Whoa, what are we doing? You know what? We're squandering the Lord's money. It's not our money. He said, you've got 90%. Now use that. That's enough to keep the household going. And if it's not, I'll take care of the extra. Well, I don't have time to serve the Lord. Yes, you do have. In fact, that's all you really have time for, but I'm going to let you get a job and do some other things too. And in fact, I want you to mow your lawn. I don't want to look like a hayfield. And I want you to spend some time with your wife, and you got to have time to train the kids. Of course, they're also mine too. So I want you to be good stewards of those kids that I gave you. So teach them the Word of God. Train them. Instead of kicking them in the butt and telling them, you stupid little jerk, why didn't you know how to do better? You train them because they're my child children, not yours. Stewardship. Letter E. He was more concerned about what would make his life easy and convenient. Now watch. He says, oh, I can't dig ditches. Why not? It's not that you can't. It's that you won't. I have had people come looking for money and say, but I'm waiting for the big job to come along. Well, do something little for a while. Man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Well, I'm willing to work, but I want to make sure that I'm getting paid $50 an hour. I want to make sure I've got 5 weeks paid vacation, and I want to make sure that I got my insurance. I don't have to pay any copay or anything like that. And when I deserve all that. When it comes in, I'll take the job and go to work. Now, you're not working for him. You're working for you. Pull some weeds if you have to. Ride the back of a garbage truck. It's a good, honest living. Dig some ditches. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. It's good, hard work. I'm glad there's an awful lot of folks around here that go out and get on a tractor and plow the field and raise some food. I'm glad because it shows up at the grocery store and then it shows up at my house.
I don't want to do that job. It's work.
Yeah. In fact, the days that I did work like that, I was in much better shape and felt better than I do now. Or at least am now. He says, listen, he didn't want to be a ditch digger. It's too much of a work in construction. Actually, I think what it was, he was too proud to give an honest day's labor for an honest day's wage, or too lazy maybe. He thought he was too good to actually work for a living. He says he was embarrassed to beg. You know, he says, I'm ashamed to beg. You know what? He said, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to actually go out and get a real job. Now, I know sometimes jobs can get tight. And I know you see these pictures, these men during the Depression, where literally they would have worked for just to keep food on the table of the family. God bless them. Those people deserve help. But listen, if all I have to do is sit down and watch TV and play video games, I better go get a job. My job is to go get a job. And your job's not done until you got a job. So go out and work and knock on doors, get some job, do something, whatever you can to make a few bucks here and there. That's what he's saying. That's what I'm saying here. He was thinking about how's this going to help me. He was not there to be a steward for the rich man. He was there to live off the rich man. Are we here to serve the Lord or just live off of him? But watch this. He wasn't too embarrassed or too proud to steal and embezzle funds. His actions were clearly all about himself. Look at verse 5. I'm jumping now. I'll come back and get a couple things here. Verse 5, down underneath number 3. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said, take your bill, sit down quick, and write 50. He wasn't too proud to do that. He wasn't embarrassed to embezzle the money. He wasn't too embarrassed to do something under the table. Basically, give a bribe so he's got somebody to come back to. So instead of being, listen, he wasn't embarrassed for wasting the master's money. He actually did more of the same. He wasted the master's money to get what he wanted. And he apparently thought that what the world offers is what he needed, and he was going to do whatever it was necessary to get as much as the world as he could and what the world offers. The steward was hired to be concerned with the master's welfare. And apparently the steward is not concerned with the master's welfare and hasn't been for some time. And the steward is in trouble and being interrogated for shady business practices. And even after he's been caught, his priorities are still the same. He's not concerned for the master's welfare. His concern was with what was going to happen to him. The priorities of the steward are seen even more deeply when he's put on the spot. Whose neck does he look out for? His or his master's? His. This has always been his priority. It has not been changed. He has the title. He looks like, says, listen, I'm the steward of so-and-so's house. No, you're not. You're the thief in so-and-so's house. Number three, the scheming steward. Scheming. S-C-H-E-M-I-N-G. Scheming. There's another oxymoron. Steward doesn't need to scheme. What's the steward supposed to do? What the master says to do. That's his job. To do it just like the master would do it if he was here. It's not to say, well, I know a better way. Well, I've got this thing figured out. If he's going to do it a different way, you take it to the master and say, well, this is what I was thinking. If the master says, yay, go ahead. If it says, no, don't. That's the way our lives have been bought with a price. We are the steward of what God has given us. If he says, this is what we do, that's what we do. If he says, don't do it, then we don't do it. I know a lot of folks who I tell you why they're just caught. They are struggling. They are, almost to panic sometimes. Just worn down from trying to make decisions, trying to figure out what was right. And I'll tell you what the biggest problem is. They haven't decided that the master gets to make the decision. It's almost like you said, well, but when he said that in the Bible, he didn't know my circumstance. Well, is that circumstance wrong according to the Bible? Yes, but you see, with everything else, I don't think that circumstance really matters anymore because all those other stuff outweighs it. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, there's so much good outweighs this little bit of bad, so I think we'll just go ahead and do that. There's an awful lot of decisions that we could be made if we would just simply look at the handbook and say, well, what would the master do? Okay, this is what he would do. Now, that doesn't look real smart to me. It looks like we might lose a little business. But that's all right. A master has plenty of money to go around. He says, really, I'm serious. The master, if that's the way the master would want us to do it, that's the way we do it. Because somehow the master always knows how to come out on the top. He's like a cat, always lands on his feet. And how far you're throwing him, he still lands on his feet. Letter B. I'm sorry. Let me read that scripture. Verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take thy bill and write 80. Letter B. The main requirement of a steward is that he be found. There it is. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Faithful. That's the main requirement. One that is not faithful and honest is not fit for the position. Do you scheme around God's commands and principles, or are you faithful to them? Yeah, but I just know that we did. I've had folks say, well, if I just know we did so and so and so, we have a whole lot more people coming in here. That's not the point. What are we bringing them into? I want to bring them to something that lines up with the Lord as best we can. And you say, well, I think there's some things, preacher, you did. I'm not sure it lined up. Well, I think they did. I really honestly did. You say, well, and if I really was wrong, I'd let you know. And I'm the one who's going to have to stand before God. And I don't take that lightly. So leave it to him who judges righteously. By the way, there's some things you do in your house I probably don't agree with either. But that's your business. We open the Word. I tell you what I think. You got the Bible open. If you don't, you should get it open. And see if what we're saying makes sense. If it makes sense, we ought to do it. If it doesn't, don't do it. But you're going to give account of your house. That's the way it works. Do we work around his commands? If we do, then we're not a good steward. Number four. Now, hang on to this here. The world's understanding of an unfaithful steward. The world's understanding of an unfaithful steward. The Lord, I call him the Lord, the rich man. The rich man. He's not the Lord. He's just the boss. He had the same philosophy as the steward. Look what it says. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Not according to God's word, but according to the world's word. Are you following me? He said, you're pretty smart. You got me. The world, listen. Now, this is totally conspiracy, I guess. But, you know how it is. You all think everybody's conspiring. You hear these guys, the politicians get on the news, and they tell you what they're going to do and what they're going to do and what they're going to do. You say, finally, somebody who has some sense. And then they get to Washington, and it's like they forgot. What happened to the guy that was one of us that we just sent there? He's no longer one of us. He's one of them. What happened? Well, I think sometimes they get down in there and they said, now listen, this is the way it works. You vote for my bill, I'll vote for your bill. You don't vote for my bill, I don't vote for your bill. I've got thus and so and thus and so because I've got election coming up and I've got to have something to talk about on the commercials, and so I'm not budging until we do this. So you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'm not saying every politician is like that, but you know doggone well it goes on. And it goes on in a lot of different places, not just in politics. Sometimes it goes on in churches. To the point, listen, our world is to the point we say, well, just dog eat dog. Well, it's great to be honest, but this is business. And so it's not, we say, well, I don't know. I can't believe this. Listen, he's just a rich man. He's not rich. I'm not saying he got rich because he was underhanded necessarily, but he was part of the world's philosophy. And he says, all right, you got me. And you know what he said? You know, you worked pretty hard to get that done. You got something going for you. Because you're diligent in the world's philosophy. But that's the world commending the world. That's not the Lord commending the world. God's not saying it was good to play around with the games and scheme. The rich man is saying, well, you got one. You got me on that one. And then Jesus goes on. He says, for the children of this world, middle verse 8, are in their generation, in their culture, in their society, their environment, their world, wiser than the children of light. They're walking in the darkness, but the fact is, they know if you're gonna make the plan work, you got to work the plan. But it says, I just sure wish the Christians would realize, you know, God has given us a plan, and the reason it's not working because we're not working the plan. We're stupid, stupid, stupid. He gave us the answer to it all. He tells us how to do it, and then we just don't quite do it. He says the world seems to be smarter than we are. Listen, he knows he's going to get some money out of there, so he goes, that's the way he does it. Well, he's going to go ahead, and the boss says, well, you got me on that one. There you go. Letter C. The steward lived according to the laws of life. The world sees them. The steward lived according to the laws of life and the way the world sees him. I got a word out of there. As the way the world sees it. See, the Lord here, the master is not the Lord, not capital L, capital O, capital R, D, capital D, L-O-R-D. Jesus is simply saying this is how the world works, and the world knows it and admires those that can work the system. It has nothing to do with the morals and the scruples and integrity. This is the world, not the people of God. Letter D. The first law of life, according to the world, is self-preservation. And they know that. Look out for number one, because no one else is looking out for you. Yes, he is. The problem is we wandered so far away from him that we basically said, don't bother me, don't get in my way. I got some other things I want to do. And he says, okay. So now we're not only do we not have the Lord in our life teaching us, but we said, we want to get in the world. So where are we? We're no man's land. The world admires those that live this way, even if they do not like the effect it has on them. Ben Ray, our missionary, over to mainland China. You pray, they got all kinds of stuff going. China's really starting to apparently really clamp down over there. But anyway, he says over in China, he grew up there, so it's just part of the way it is. He doesn't live this way, but it's the way it is. He says, if you go in there and you try to barter with somebody, and he starts to pull one over on you, if you catch him, all right, you got me. All right. And over there, they're not upset either way that they try to cheat each other, because that's just life. They commend one another to see how well they can work the system. Morals and lying and all that stuff, they know. They see how can I convince them that my lie is true? And if you can convince them that your lie is true, then you got one over them. And the fact is, you realize they got one over you. You say, well, they got me. I should have been smarter than that. Now, see, that all seems so foreign to us. Far, the other side of the world, China. But it seems so foreign to us because it is. But they've lived without God for so long. Number five. We are to be faithful stewards in both realms. We are to be faithful stewards in both realms. Verse 9, Jesus is speaking, and say unto you, make to yourselves friends a mammon of unrighteousness, worldly pursuits, cares of the sinful world. And then he says, that when ye fail, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, I think that he actually said that verse, because we're going to find it a little later in the next verse here. I think Jesus basically said that kind of tongue-in-cheek with a twinkle in his eye. Because look what he says. He says, verse 7 says, and then verse 8 says, and the Lord commend the unjust steward because he done wisely. For children of this world are in their culture, their generation, wiser than the children of life. And I say, you make yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, you may receive you an everlasting habitation. Well, if you're not going to follow the Lord, you go ahead and follow them and see what kind of everlasting habitations they send you. Now, I've read bunches of commentaries, and that's as good as anybody else has. That's a hard verse there. But basically, he's not really telling you to go make friends of the world, to go out and do what they do. But he is saying that if you're going to go that way, go all the way. If you're not, then don't. But just so you remember, just remember what your everlasting habitations are going to be when you decide which way you're going to go. There's a certain element of sarcasm, I think, in there. And you said you behave as if you're serving the Lord is wrong, and then you serve the world as if it's right. We get ourselves all messed up. Number six. A steward must be faithful to be considered a steward. A steward must be faithful to be considered a steward. Look at verse 10. He's teaching us now in the positive direction. He said, well, you want to go back? Go ahead. But he says, listen, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And you know what he's saying? Don't expect God to give you opportunity and assets to use if you don't keep your worldly business righteous as well. Well, I do everything right at church. Fine. But watch, if you're willing to slide over here, slide on things and kind of, you know, not do everything quite square, why eventually won't that happen over here? This is one reason why I tell young girls, especially guys too, I guess, they're looking for a mate. If you got a guy, all the teens are over there, but I tell you, if you got a guy who is willing to lie to your parents and his parents to get you to have you with him, run. Most girls say, isn't that so romantic? Look how far he'll go out of his way to have me. Yeah, but what do you get out of it? A liar. He lies to get what he wants. And one of these days, he'll lie to get what he wants, and you're going to be in the wrong end of the stick. You're not faithful in little. Why in the world are you going to be faithful in a lot? If you can't run your wealth, your worldly wealth, this evil world that we live in, the mess that it is, it has all the issues. If you're not going to run that well, why in the world would the Lord give you any kind of opportunity to run something within the context of His church? If we're not running our life right this way, why do we expect God's going to give us our blessing so we have something wonderful in our life spiritually? We don't realize this. We think, well, just being smart. No, you're not being smart. You're being stupid. Because you're living in the mentality of the world is our answer, not that the Lord's our answer. I know this seems like easy. It seems easy to me. It hasn't always been easy. And I know how you feel. If someone said, well, I lost my job. What am I going to do? I don't know. Did you do everything that you were supposed to do, or did you tell the boss off and give him some hand signals and some other things, and then you're wondering why you got fired? Or did you really truly work hard and keep a good attitude and show up on time and don't leave before you're supposed to and not call in sick every time the Super Bowl's on and all this kind of stuff? Did you really work? Well, then the Lord has another franchise someplace else. He knows you need something. There's nothing to worry about. Now, if you complain and you're just putting in time and you say, well, I've worked long enough, I think that's good. Well, what did the boss say? Well, you don't like the boss, change bosses. But right now, if he's your boss, that's the one you owe your time to. He's paying your time. That's the one you work for. And Christians don't realize this way. And then you wonder why is the Lord blessing me? Because if you're not faithful in the filthy evil mammon of the world, God's not going to give you something from Him. He's not going to do it. He's just not going to do it. God judges our faithfulness in both the spiritual realm and activities, and in the world's realm and their activities. Verse 13: No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't serve the worldly wealth and philosophy and the Lord too. That's why you can't be out doing crazy things in the world and then expect God to bless it, because you know what you're doing? You're serving self. And that's our mentality. Since a steward is charged with the task of caring for his master's personal finances, faithfulness is the first essential characteristic needed. The unjust steward knew who he served, himself, and simply did that which would be best for himself. Number seven, who are you being faithful to? Who are you being faithful to? The world is often more faithful to its own wrong ways than children of God are faithful to God's ways. Do we serve self or do we serve the Savior? Do you serve the ways of the world? Do you serve the ways of the Lord? Some folks are faithful to stewards of the Lord. Are faithful stewards of the Lord, and some folks are faithful stewards of the world. You cannot truly serve both without a conflict of interest. The steward lived faithfully by the customs of the world. This one did. His life is a clear example of the world's philosophy, which is wrong. Oh, that we would live by the principles of God as faithfully as the world lives the world's philosophies. He made his decisions according to the ways the world thinks best. He was true to what he believed. He was true to what he believed. Are we true to what we believe? That's what he's saying here. We cannot claim to serve our master and not be looking out for his best interest. If we're not looking out for his best interest, we're not serving our master. The steward was not serving the master. The master was not his priority. His own belly was his priority. So as far as the world thinks, with its twisted thinking, it only made sense for the unjust steward to do what he did, because that is what he needed to do to serve the master. And who's his master? Himself. And Christians say they're serving the Lord, but what are they doing? What they do is says otherwise. Not careful, we're serving ourselves, seeking to increase our worldly goods and our worldly position. We cannot serve both. And it's a shame that Christians do not work as hard following the Lord as the world works at following the world. That's really what this is saying. Many thieves work harder at trying to circumvent the law than they would if they just simply got a law-abiding job. You know what I'm saying? Thieves often work as hard, if not harder, scheming to get around work than if they just went out and got an honest job. How many have they found coming out of a chimney or stuck in some wall or coming down, falling out of the ceiling, and, you know, some... I remember years ago, I had a difficult time because I was in music, and I wanted to sing. I could find people who wanted to do the world's music who would practice on hours on end. But Christians, went through it twice, we're good. The world knows that we have to practice and be diligent to do a quality job. Christians seem to think that if God's job, it's God's job to love us and appreciate us no matter how bad we sound. Who are we serving? Choose your master. Father, thank you for these folks who have been real patient with me. Again, I've been long again. But Lord, I just want to serve you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see that. Lord, maybe we just kind of look at our lives, our own lives here for just a little bit and find out, find out what it is that where we're serving, what it is that we're doing. Speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Let's just